141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Stephen Gerrard says it's his job to lift the Rangers players following their cup exit. Celtic land around £9 million in compensation for Brendan Rodgers and his backroom team. And the message from the St Mirren camp is there's no way we're thinking about going down. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Well, Gordon, I think a lot of the chat this evening will still be the fallout from Tuesday night's game where Rangers exited the Scottish Cup against Aberdeen, and how the Rangers fans feel about that, because it wasn't so long ago, the end of December, that looked so optimistic for Rangers in terms that they were still in the league title and still in the shout for the Scottish Cup. Now I wonder if the fans think this season is going to fizzle out under Steven Gerrard, and perhaps what they think is a sign of progress, because reading a lot of newspapers today, a lot of people starting to pick up on the stats at this time last season compared to now. I know there was a European one, but in terms of domestically, Rangers are worse off just now. So it'll be interesting to hear what
one point supporters. Better off at the moment.
Yeah, but in terms of cup competitions, you know, out at the quarter final stage where they reached the semis last year, I wonder what the Rangers fans think of that. I know it's a big turnaround, but also there was a big spend in the summer.
I think to try and save anything out of this season, Gordon, I don't fancy them whatsoever to catch Celtic, but they've got to look at trying to close the gap if that's possible for them, and then they can kick on after that. It's been a disappointing season, you've got to say, because every time, apart from the Celtic game, Rangers have come in to a big game, they've not delivered.
Domestically?
Yeah, they've not delivered. It's as simple as that. Steven Gerrard can't complain about the backing of the board. 15 players in the summer. He's two targets right away in January with big money and wages, and they've not delivered either. So they've got a massive game in front of a crowd that will go along on Saturday, and they'll be expecting a win against a good Kilmarnock side. I know they're not in the greatest form, but they get a victory, on Monday night against St Mirren, and they'll look forward to the game against Rangers.
Yeah, the number you need tonight is 0141 951 1025. So let's hear from you. It's Thursday night, so we can already turn our attentions to the weekend as well. I suppose for Rangers it's all about bouncing back. For Celtic, they're going to try and grow that gap if possible, depending what happens on Saturday, and a really tense situation at the bottom. So let's hear from you all. 0141 951 1025, and we are on Twitter as well, at Clyde SSB. Let's hear from Steven Gerrard. He says his only focus now is beating Kilmarnock on Saturday after being knocked out the cup. He says it's his responsibility to lift the squad, and says they'll take the rest of the season on a week by week basis.
Look, if a result and a performance puts the spotlight on me, that's fine. I'll take it on the chin. You know, I'm man enough to accept that. It's my job now to try and move on from this, which will be tough because it was such a big game and we knew what was at stake. Well, we have to win the next game. We have to win the next game, and we have to analyse it from game to game to see where we are. We need to go and try and take 3 points at the weekend, and then obviously we go into a big fixture against Celtic. That's all I can concern myself on now, the next couple of weeks. And as I say, we'll analyse it from week to week and we'll see where we end up at the end of the season. But I'm very, very disappointed. I'm angry that we're out of this cup because, you know, we're at home, we've got the fans behind us, and we've got the opportunity, you know, to show that we're better than Aberdeen, and we didn't do it. We were second best.
What about on the night then, before we assess the bigger picture? What did you make of it?
I agree. I thought that Aberdeen bullied them. I watched Aberdeen against Celtic and they looked very well organised from the back to the middle. Didn't really have a lot up front that would have probably worried Rangers, especially with their top goal scorer missing. But when you give goals, and you give goals early, you look at the first goal, Rangers have actually got a throw-in up in Aberdeen, the corner of the box at Aberdeen. It's 2-3 minutes later, the ball's in the back of the net, a poor pass for Kamara. The second goal for me, schoolboy, I've said time and a time on this programme, Gordon, Rangers will not win anything with that defence. The two centre halves are all over the place. The left back gets caught ball watching. It's schoolboy stuff. Steven Gerrard was so angry he couldn't get in the dressing room apparently after the game. He's had to sit down, but he's now got to take responsibility for it, because he has got to now, he's got Kilmarnock and Celtic in the next two games. He can't afford to lose the two games.
There is always a bigger picture, Mark, not only the game itself, but for Rangers to be knocked out of both cup competitions, both by Aberdeen and both in Glasgow, is where a lot of the frustration comes
from. And even when you think of the league game back in, when was it? Was it October or something like that, where Aberdeen went and won? Even when you think of the game at Pittodrie, where Rangers were the better team, we all agree on that, but Aberdeen managed to nick something and ground out a result there. Derek McInnes has certainly, you know, got Steven Gerrard's number. He knows how to play against his team, and I think that will disappoint a lot of Rangers supporters, that the fact that it's over this 6-game period that Derek McInnes has triumphed so many times and drew a few. Okay, lost that last one. You wonder, even the one that they lost, Aberdeen lost, that Ibrox Rangers won, and Morelos and McKenna get sent off. You know, there's a few contentious decisions in that game. You just wonder, you know, how that could have swung as well. So it wasn't an easy game for Rangers. That was a fantastic victory, but Aberdeen still made it difficult. And I think that will frustrate a lot of Rangers fans, that Gerrard hasn't learned his lesson and how to play against him. And he had a second bite at it on Tuesday night, Ibrox. It was all there for him to perhaps change something up, go with a different approach against a stubborn Aberdeen side who, you must admit, know how to defend, know their jobs down to a tee. But again, it was the same old, and Aberdeen just found it too easy to play against.
So 141 951 1025 in the phones. It's at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Let's start with Thomas, who's a Rangers fan in Barrhead. Hi, Thomas.
Good evening, guys. I'm phoning to say I'm starting to become really concerned as to where we're going under Steven Gerrard on several fronts. Number one is tactically. It seems to be tactically is so predictable, and Rangers are so one-paced. His tactic is get the ball to Morelos and pray. I know that Morelos has got 28 goals, but if you take away Tavernier's penalties, we don't have another player on double figures. So basically, if Morelos doesn't score, we don't score. And that is his one and only tactic. Secondly, his signing policies. You look at is it Gresa? I can't remember.
Gresa,
yeah.
I mean, he has been injured, but I don't think he is anymore. Yeah.
Disappeared without trace at a cost of £2 million. We've got Flanagan, a nightmare signing. Ajaria, which was embarrassing. The signings that he's made that have been successful are few and far between. And the third thing as well, we've got a centre half. One of his signings that is a success, ironically, is a boy Katic. When he plays, he's no worse than Morrow, and he delivers goals at the far end. Yet he's wasted a season of his contract sitting on the bench while we develop a player for Nottingham Forest who has said he doesn't want to stay. He's no better than Katic, who's sitting on the bench. I can't understand that either. And I agree with everything Gordon said at the outset. You know, I know that the conditions were bad and everything else, but Rangers are so, so predictable. And I just fear for where we're going under Gerrard.
All right, Thomas has covered off quite a few points. Let's start with the first one in terms of the goals. You cannot fault Alfredo Morelos' goal scoring this season. He's the top scorer in the league. He clearly knows his way to goal. Is it beyond that where some of the issues may lie? Tavernier's obviously deadly from the penalty spot and has scored a lot from there. Daniel Candeias has got 6 goals in all competitions this season, and Ryan Kent's got 5. I think it was actually a Rangers fan who made the point on the phone last night, if you were to compare that with, say, Forrest and Sinclair, you know, the guys that are supposed to supplement the strikers' goals, as good as Ryan Kent's been, and Daniel Candeias has had plenty of good games as well, but 11 goals between them is perhaps a bit less than people would have hoped.
That's why you're not winning anything, Gordon. The big talking point's always about Morelos. Now, no matter what you think of the boy, how he goes about his business, he's delivered. You've got to say he's delivered. He's let Rangers down at times, yes, but he's delivered with his goals. I've said since September, October, you look at Rangers' defence, they're just not good enough for me. They can't defend. And when you can't defend, your midfield comes deeper and deeper and deeper. They've not got a guy that can go beyond. The one that Thomas touches on, I was so surprised. I thought Rangers' first half against Hibs, best I've seen them. I thought they were brilliant. They should have had Hibs away, gone, finished. They didn't kill them off. In the second half, Hibs changed their formation. Steven Gerrard doesn't seem to react to that. He keeps the same 4-3-3. You know, every time.
Well, he did make the double change, but was that at 2-0? Remind me.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it was.
But you go to Ibrox, you know what his formation is going to be. Now, he has changed it down at Kilmarnock because he wanted Defoe in the team and he wanted Davis in the team. It didn't work. 4-3-3 is fine. But when opposition make a move against you and they're now taking control of the game, when you're a manager and a top manager supposed to be, you've got to combat that with a move to put them out their stride. You're dealing with a manager here, and I think that he should get time. You're dealing with a manager that has come from an academy. You're dealing with the under 23 coach at Liverpool, who's his right hand man with Gary McAllister, who had been a manager years and years ago. So he's learning his trade. But unfortunately for the Rangers fans, it's some size of a club to go and learn your trade.
What is it about? I mean, obviously that was a cup game the other night, but if you were to look at the league form at Ibrox, for instance, right, in the league, Rangers have only conceded 6 goals at home. So that doesn't sound like a bad defence. Are you talking more about the sort of individual errors and the way that that seems to sometimes disrupt performances?
I'm talking about the fine line of if you want to
win things,
you want to win things, Gordon. No disrespect, I don't think Joe Worrall at centre back will ever win you the league playing constantly. Barisic is a forward thinking player. Him and Tavernier go forward all the time. The other night they're getting caught with that second goal. It was absolutely schoolboy defending from him. It really was. And a lot of people are now coming out, Rangers supporters I've met, going, why are we not playing Halliday? And Rangers spent a lot of money on this guy. So there's problems there for me. I like Arfield, but I think that these guys need to start chipping in with more goals. And the one guy that I can't understand how's out the team is young McCrory. I thought he's been different class every time he's been in the side. But Steven Gerrard seems to think that's not for me. The 4-3-3, Derek McInnes, experienced manager, turns up at Ibrox, knows exactly how to get the better of Rangers, and he goes away and gets himself in the semi-final.
I think you're right in terms of the defence is poor. But Steven Gerrard has signed a lot of these players, and I think that's what's let him down, a lot of his signings. I think out of all the signings made, you know, I've just wrote down a few here, you know, Gresda, Katic, Barisic, Goldson, Jarrier, Flanagan, Koulibaly, Worrall, Defoe, Dave Lafferty. I think you're looking at Kent and Arfield are probably the two that have really stood up and actually helped our manager out. I think the rest of those guys,
you'd put Goldson above the rest of some of them, would you not? Maybe not right at the top of the list, however, but you'd put him above most of them.
You would put him above some of them. But however, early on the season, remember, Goldson was making absolute howlers in the Europa League and things like that as well. So
I think overall, I mean he's been a first, I mean, well, put it this way, you're comparing him to some guys who really haven't stepped
again,
up. So I think
I wouldn't say Goldson has been a standout this season. I think there's been games he's looked solid, but again, there's been games he's been questionable. So I think the majority of Steven Gerrard's signings have let him down, and badly. Now that must be a worry, because if he is given another year, which I think he will, and I think he probably deserves to be because he's a young manager, it's then the recruitment again. Who's the players coming from? Is Mark Allen still at the club?
Yeah.
Does he get a good relationship with Steven Gerrard? Because that's going to become all important come the end of the season.
Well, let's get a take from Alan in Drumchapel. Hi, Alan.
Hello, panel. My point was about, I heard one of you saying there not that long ago how the Rangers from this time this season to last season were only like 1 point better off.
Yes, in the league.
The league. And it's the same with the two cups. The last season we got to the two semi-finals. This season we got to one semi and the quarter-final. And the only thing I think we've improved on is Europe, is just getting into the group stages. And I was reading the paper today as well, and the Sun, Defoe, came out and said, "Oh, Rangers should be, the supporters should be proud." Something like that. They should be proud.
Excited, I think he said. We played it last night. He said you should be excited about what lies ahead, or words to
that
effect.
I don't really see. I don't get why he says that, because we've not improved for me at all. Well, from now to last season to now, we've not actually done anything further.
Yeah, this is the old question of improvement, Gordon. And Alan has listed off the facts. Technically, the league campaign is better. It's 1 point better. The cups would be slightly worse because they've gone out a round earlier in the Scottish Cup. Europe's obviously a big thing because Rangers were nowhere. Let's not forget Pedro and the Bush and all that carry on. Yeah. So that was a big improvement. It came at the start of the season. And of course, if you're wanting to go head to heads, then they managed to beat Celtic, which they couldn't do in previous seasons. So how much of an improvement does that mean? I don't know. You tell me.
I don't think it's a big improvement, Gordon. And everybody can argue the stats that you've just come out of there. But when you start a season and a board give you 15 players, when you go to a January transfer window and the board give you two players and they got say a lot of money and back you to the hilt, I think that Rangers fans and the board, only my opinion, deserve better than that. See, you cannot live off of last July in the Europe run, the European campaign. You can't live. It's not.
Yeah, but you also can't forget it.
No,
it exists within the context of a season when you're judging how successful or otherwise it was.
But domestically, the now, Rangers' biggest thing, the now, is one thing only. And that's why he was brought here, is to stop Celtic going 10 in a row. Now, the way things are going along, can you really see that? I can't. So it's not an improvement. Maybe a better style of football, as I say. Against Hibs in the first half, I thought they were brilliant.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Away from these measurable things, do they seem like a better team to you? You know, there's some things you can't put your finger... Do they play better football? Are they a better team on the eye than they were last season?
I think when they win, and win convincingly, sometimes they look outstanding. Now, we watched them a couple of weeks ago against Hamilton, and I said, that's as good as I've seen Rangers for a long time. Everyone's saying, oh, Hamilton were poor. In the first half, I thought Rangers were outstanding.
So they're capable of more this season than they were last season. Yeah.
But I certainly, that's a good point. But I think in too many occasions, these signings that we'll go back to have let the manager down. Sometimes there's occasions that they turn up and they do look great, and Steven Gerrard comes out and often asks for more, which is great. You know, must be for a Rangers manager. But too often, these guys let him down, and it was the same on Tuesday night.
I think, Gordon,
just let Alan give the final word before we go to the travel. On you go, Alan.
Yeah, that's it. I think you're completely right. I think the team, they know they're good enough with the performances against Celtic. Then there's the first half against Hibs, some of the European games against Rapid Vienna, Ibrox. Some of the best teams and the team I've seen. So they know they're good enough. So I don't know why they're bitten sometimes when they know they can be as good as they have been.
All right, thank you to Alan Indramchapel, 0141 951 1025. Twitter is at Clyde SSB. I'm sure we will take more calls on Rangers' performance the other night as the show progresses. But we're going to hear from Oliver Buck. And it looks like Brendan Rodgers leaving led to quite a nice amount of compensation for Celtic. We'll look at that situation after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Snowflake says, fickle, fickle, fickle. All of a sudden, some of my fellow supporters are now moaning about Gerrard and the coaching team. Patience is a virtue. Have faith in the man. We've come a long way. And Bob McCallum says, the best Gers team in 7 years. Gers night and day this season from previous. Fans know. He puts that in capital letters just for emphasis. We've improved. Don't blame the tactics for individual errors like Kamara's. Changed the course of the game from the start, as did the ref denying Alfredo a penalty. So that's at Clyde SSB. We're 0141 951 1025 on the phones. And in fact, if you do go to Twitter at Clyde SSB, you'll see we've tweeted what I, in my humble personal opinion, consider the worst free kick goal I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I showed you it before we came in.
Yeah, and
would you agree?
Yes, I've got to agree, because he wasn't even aiming for the goals. He was just aiming for the back post.
Yeah, if you head to
he nearly broke his ankle as well.
If you head to at Clyde SSB, you will see it. Our very own Mark Wilson scoring in the derby, a big derby goal for Dundee United against Dundee, has to be the worst free kick goal I've ever seen. Talk us through it.
Just hold on quickly. I need to ask him this question, right? How bad must Dundee United have been in those days that they allowed him to take the free kicks?
Well, listen, we had so much talent. We had Barry Robson in the team, Charlie Miller, all the guys. But I still was. What do you want me to talk you through? It was a goal. It was the only way I could get it in. It was quite like my goal in the Old Firm. You have to sometimes think these goals through. You can't just
think
thrash
outside
at
the
things.
Box.
Exactly. Everyone's expecting the top corner. Go for the ball.
I'll try and describe it for you. It goes under the wall unintentionally. By the way, you know some people do that deliberately.
No.
It goes under the wall. It then eventually reaches the first defender, who swings at it and misses. The keeper also misses it. But don't worry, Our colleague Alex Ray has got your back. He says, outstanding strike. Do you know how hard it is to get the ball to bounce four times before it hits the back of the net?
He's right. He sees it a few times at six aside. Hey, they all count, Gordon. I was proud of that.
Listen,
goal.
Big derby goal.
Another
as well.
Derby
it did mean a
me.
Lot to everyone. 0141 951 1025. What about this news that was coming out today from down south? £9 million seems to be the compensation fee for Brendan Rodgers and his backroom team. If you rewind a couple of weeks, I know all the Celtic fans were disappointed, but we always talk about players being a good bit of business. You know, they came in, score X amount of goals and leave for 15 million. For Brendan Rodgers to come in, win seven trophies and then you get 9 million for his services, that seems alright, doesn't it?
I think it's fantastic business, I've got to say. I'm sure that the Celtic supporters would have wanted Brendan Rodgers to stay and see it through, but when that's not happening, you've got to congratulate Celtic board for a bit of business. Digging their heels in, getting the money. That's Edward actually paid for. You know, that's
various ways of looking at it. Yeah, I suppose if you were to take Brendan Rodgers' salary across his time here, that would probably cover it.
But
and so
he won all the trophies, so his salary, that's worth paying for.
I'm sure if or when the time comes that Celtic don't win a trophy, there'll be fans going, well, was it worth taking £9 million? There'll be some fans out there that think if Brendan Rodgers was a manager for the next 5 years, he would win every single trophy. Probably never going to be a reality. Those fans will probably say, was it worth £9 million?
Oh, listen, I'm not saying that.
I've heard his assistant manager was £8 million.
I'm not saying that means Celtic now get given every single penny of that to go and spend in the summer. I just, you know, it's
that's better than nothing.
It's looking after your own side of things when people take your talent away, isn't it? Whether it be player or manager.
Yeah, I think I keep saying the one thing that Celtic are very good at, they do good business in the transfer market, and they've obviously done good business when they lost their manager. They were disappointed, but Brendan had made his mind up, so you have to cash in. And I think £9 million in the coffers is a real good deal.
What did Ayr get for you when Glenavon took you away?
No, I never went there. I went to Raith. In fact, Airdrie got three new season books when you left.
KW's also got your back on Twitter for this free kick. He says,
come on.
Ronaldo did that against West Ham and got called a genius.
Exactly. See,
he says talking your game down.
Exactly. People too quick to talk the Scottish game down. I mean, that was years ago before Ronaldo did it. Ronaldo, so he obviously watched Scottish football back in those days.
Never been mentioned in the same sentence and never will be again. 0141 951 1025. Let's hear from David, who's a Celtic fan in Livingston. Hi, David.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Not too bad. What's your point tonight?
It might be a bit controversial, but I think in Celtic they need a new striker for next season, especially if they want to do a little bit better in Europe. Especially with Lee Griffiths left. Oh, sorry, Lee Griffiths gone, out of the now, and Dembele left. I think that Rangers will sell Morelos in the summer, and especially the fact that Neil Lennon was a bit of a hothead in his playing days. I think Celtic should maybe look at signing Morelos. I think Neil Lennon will be able to coach him. I know, again, it's a bit controversial.
Oh, it's a big shout, David.
A bit controversial, David.
I know, but I mean, he's been proven in Scottish football. I mean, was he close to 30 goals this season?
Yep.
Close to 30 goals. I think it's the type of player that Celtic need. I think Rangers are going to get rid of him anyway.
David, what would you pay for him? Seeing you're a Celtic fan, what would you say your club to pay for him? 20 million?
No.
Come on then.
10, 12 million. But then obviously it's more than Celtic have ever spent. You know, Edouard being the most expensive player. I think he's worth at least 10 million. I think he'll do a job for Celtic.
No, I did see this on the Twitter sphere the other day, and I assumed it was just internet. Well, I mean, it is just internet rumour. A few dodgy accounts set up. But David's a Celtic fan. He fancies it. Can you see it? Can you imagine the phone lines if it happened?
Is that a serious question? Are you being serious? Can I see it? No,
I
can't see
anymore.
It. I don't. It's never possible. I mean, never. Even if the player was shown the door, I don't think he would go.
Humour me. What part of it's not possible?
Because Rangers would what? So Rangers would sell Morelos to Celtic
I'm
for 10 million.
I'm asking you. So where does this hypothetical theory break down? Wouldn't Celtic be interested in him? Wouldn't Rangers sell him?
Yeah, I think it breaks down in On all of them? Yes,
right.
In all of them. And it's very rare that you get a subject like that. For me, I think it breaks down,
Gordon,
in every part.
Can I come back in there?
I can see it happening.
Go for it, David. No, you can't. Go, David.
My question is, why wouldn't Morelos want to go? You said the player wouldn't want to go. I don't think he would have no reason not to want to go. I think he would want to come to Celtic if he got offered the opportunity.
I think Morelos would know enough about Glasgow and the way his life is just now, playing for one side, a Celtic Rangers. I think he would know enough that to jump ship and go to the other side, I think he's already got enough hassle playing for Rangers just now. If he had to jump across the other side of Glasgow, I mean, he'd be in for a bit of bother. Let's put it that way.
It's a non-starter because Morelos is tied up in a long-term contract, and there's no way in the world Rangers will sell him to Celtic.
There were, David. I tried to get them to buy into it.
Initial point, though, about Celtic needing a striker, I mean, he's not far off because, I suppose it depends.
Burke will be going, obviously. Assume at this point.
You know, where you assume would go back. You've got Edward there. Griffiths, we don't know how he's going to come back. So you wonder, you know, you've got Bio there, but he's not shown anything now.
That was always meant to be the long term.
So you just wonder if you're just left with Edwards. Not a bad point. Celtic will be in the market. I just don't see it being Morelos.
I was just waiting to see how you wrapped that one up. Thank you, David and Livingston. Give us a call anytime. 01419511025. Let's hear from Oliver Burke. He says, looking ahead to the Aberdeen game in the semi-finals, it doesn't have to look too far back to find a previous meeting between the sides, a goalless draw on Saturday, and Burke thinks in a way that could be a good thing.
It wasn't a good performance, and we didn't lose the game, but it almost felt like we did, you know. We were very down about it because we knew we were so much better than that, and I think these things happen, like I say. You have your ups and then you have your moments in the league, and that was one of our moments. Very, very leggy display, and hopefully now we're all refreshed and ready for the game.
Given that you'll play Aberdeen in the Scottish Cup semi-final, is it maybe a good thing that performance came against them?
I think that is a good thing. I think it gives us more of a boost now and more determination that we want to beat them and to really prove a point.
What do you make of that draw for the last four then? Celtic will have to get past Aberdeen yet again on the way to trying to land a domestic trophy. These two have become very familiar with each other at Hampden in recent years.
Yeah, but I think that whoever wins that semi, no disrespect to Hearts or Inverness, I think we'll pick up the Scottish Cup. And I still think that as much as Derek McInnes will take a lot of confidence from the performance at Celtic Park at the weekend, coming back down to Glasgow and beating Rangers in the quarterfinal replay, I still think at Hampden, Celtic have just got too much for them.
No Graham Shinney, of course, for Aberdeen.
Well, it doesn't bother me, that. I just think that Celtic...
What do you mean it doesn't bother
I'm not a great fan of...
That's not really the point. Derek McInnes is, and he's their captain.
Yeah. Okay, they'll miss Graham Shinney, but I don't think they'll miss Graham Shinney enough. And the fact that saying, well, if we'd Graham Shinney playing, we'd have beaten Celtic in the semi-final. That's my point. No disrespect to lad, everybody's got their opinions about football players. I just think that Celtic will have most of their players back by then. You know, Tom Rogic, you're looking at McGregor, you're looking at Cham maybe, you're looking, you know, Burke's there, they've got Edward. And I just think at Hampden, I think Celtic have got too much.
I just wonder if Aberdeen, though, growing confidence every time they go to Hampden. Now, as a team who's probably never been there, you go to Hampden, you turn up, there's a danger you get caught in the headlights and you freeze. And when you play against teams like Celtic and Rangers and teams that have been there, just steamroller you. And you go, oh, you know, we gave our all in the day, but it was too much for us. Aberdeen have been there on numerous occasions, and they've been there once before this season, beat Rangers. And against Celtic, they weren't bad in the final. And they just seem to... It's getting closer for Derek McInnes. That's what I'm saying.
I think it'll
be a stuffy occasion. I don't think it'll be a classic, but I think Derek McInnes' side will make it difficult.
Are you
for
like
Celtic.
Me ruling out Hearts? Or no,
by the way, see when you're saying that as well. I think Hearts will get through to the final, but I think Hearts will make a final of it as well. I don't think it's a given. Whoever wins this semi will go on and lift the trophy.
Well done to David and Livingston, the previous caller, who's managed to unite all, who's managed to unite Celtic and Rangers fans against his suggestion. That never happens. They don't agree on anything, but they all agree that they disagree with David. Yeah. Magic.
Yeah, that's brilliant. You never see that on Twitter. No, that's a first for us.
01419511025. Jeffrey's a Rangers fan on the line. Hi, Jeffrey.
Hi. How are you?
Not too bad.
I was at the game with my dad on Tuesday night, who is in his 90s, right? I was a wee bit disappointed with the score and the weather as well, which probably didn't help. I want to talk about Morales and the way that Steven Gerrard stands on the touchline. He plays him up on him up. He plays him on his own up front. Now every time the when the ball comes out from the back, it's a big punt up the park, and I tend to find when I see Morales trying to get the ball, it's no use putting up high. It's better at his feet. And also the incident that happened when he got the yellow card, it should never have been a yellow card, because I'm not sure if you've seen it on TV. Mm-hmm. The Aberdeen player had his arm round the middle of his body and he pushed him away.
Yeah, what did you make of that incident, Mark and Gordon? Because it was the big talking point. If he was booked, he was going to miss the semi. Should Rangers progress? They obviously didn't, but he got that booking. And was it harsh?
I thought he was unlucky, Gordon. I don't think that was a yellow card. I think that Constantine, it was, wasn't it? I think he got away with one there, and I felt for him. Everything that,
having said that, he then had a couple more later on that people were pointing to, didn't he?
I don't know why he started doing that, but Jeffrey's talking about, you know, him playing up there himself. He likes being the lone striker. I think that's his perfect fit. They've tried the four there with him down at Rugby Park. I've known they've not played that many games together, but they play very far apart. I think Morales likes a battle with the two centre halves. I think he's been terrific this season. Yes, he's had his moments, but his goal return's been brilliant. But it'll be interesting to see if Celtic do come in.
He has been great this season, no doubt about that. But when you're the top man, the top striker, and you're going for, you know, silverware, and Rangers were going for silverware with the Scottish Cup, regardless of what you think of the league, you need them to turn up when the team is struggling, and that is in big games like Tuesday night, and in big games like Friday.
We raised
as well.
This earlier. Is it not about trying to get other guys to step up, because he can't do that all the time?
Well, I tell you, on Friday night, Morelos had chances, and he had a couple of chances that he should have put away. Big strikers put them away, and you're still perhaps in a mere chance of the league.
Jeffrey, we are a bit pushed for time, but just quickly before we let you go, how are you assessing between now and the end of the season then? What are your hopes, your aims, your expectations?
Remember, I was on near the beginning of the season thinking that Rangers were going to win. I think it will boil down to what happens this weekend. If Rangers don't do anything against Kilmarnock, I think we can say cheerio to the league, and let's see if we can do something next season. But my opinion is that when I looked at what was happening, I thought that if we are in the top three by the end of the season, we're doing well. We've done well in Europe. And to think what we've done, where we've been in the last 5 or 6 years, coming back up through the leagues, I think we've done well.
Okay, thank you to Jeffrey and Giffnock. My apologies. We are going to have to leave it there because we're very late for the travel, but more calls next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, a team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel, I mean, are still here, but I think Mark Wilson just fell off his stool. So everything all right over there? It's all right, okay.
I'm back.
Great stuff. Consummate professional, as always. Gordon Dalziel is here. He's still standing. And if you want to get in touch, it's 01419511025. Twitter is at ClydeSSB. Lots of support for Mark Wilson's free kick goal that we've
thanks
earlier on.
Love your listeners. Absolutely. They know football.
No, I'm telling you. Support.
Seriously? Yeah. People actually saying he meant that.
Well, you've got to think your way through these situations, Daz. Not just, I mean, people just put the ball on the plate to you in the 6 yard box and you put it in. Guys like me have to graph for goals like that.
Mark, I still can't get over the fact.
Do you ever hit a free kick?
Oh, many.
I don't think you can kick it that far.
No, by the way,
to be fair, I
watching the penalty shout with Gordon that time,
I was never a sort of a out the box sort of a striker.
Yeah, we know. thanks for revealing that big secret to us. 0141 951 1025. Brian is a Celtic fan on the line. Hi Brian.
Hello, good evening guys, how are you?
Not too bad, what's on your mind tonight?
Right, I was on it earlier in the week. I think I was on it Monday night, and I explained why I believed Aberdeen would go to Ibrox full of confidence. And do you know that by Monday, 10 o'clock at night, I had been blasted, absolutely ridiculed, because nobody gave Aberdeen the respect. I mean, and I don't want to blame anybody in the media. I don't want to blame anybody. Fans, friends of mine that are Rangers and Aberdeen fans. I work offshore, so I worked a great contingent of both Aberdeen and Rangers fans. But I didn't see the game. I did say that had Aberdeen scored first, they would win the game, and it proved it was right. I said to you guys on the show, there's a lack of respect for the Derek McInnes. Now, Derek McInnes was the first choice prior to Stephen Gerrard. Derek McInnes was first choice. So Stephen Gerrard was second choice. Derek McInnes has built a great squad at Aberdeen. He's building a good team. They came down to Celtic. I watched them on Saturday. And I thought, right, you know, if we're strikers are firing, we'll maybe win 1-2-0 because they're good on the road. They're excellent on the road. And I'm not taking anything for granted. And this is where I'm getting to my point. Rangers fans seem to take so much for granted. They have this herinvoke hubris, we call it. The expectation that they just because they have Stephen Gerrard is a big name in football. Stephen Gerrard's no a big name in management. Stephen Gerrard's got 3 points more than Pedro Caixinha had last year. Stephen Gerrard's no the guy that you, and I mean, no disrespect to you guys in the media were tripping over yourself at the beginning of the league. We had Charlie Nicholas, a good, great Celtic player, but Charlie Nicholas in the paper saying that at the turn of the year, the Rangers had stolen a march and that Celtic had fell behind because Rangers had signed two players that were good in England at one point. Well, what's happened since is that Celtic have won 8 points clear. They're now in the semi-final against the Scottish Cup because we respect our opponents. We respect, and I'm not taking anything away from, when we go to play Aberdeen.
Let me ask you a bit more about this notion of respect, Brian. How does it? What in particular has been disrespectful? Rangers pay far more money than Aberdeen. They're 8 points ahead of Aberdeen in the league. Does that entitle you to anything? Absolutely not. But it surely entitles people to look at Rangers against Aberdeen at Ibrox and say that they think Rangers will win that match. What's disrespectful about that?
Well, I'll tell you what's majorly disrespectful for me, and this is a fact, is that Aberdeen have came to Glasgow, they've drew with Celtic, uh-huh, beat Rangers in cup competitions, they've beat Rangers at Ibrox, and Mr Gerrard turned around and said, we're a class above them. Sorry, Mr Gerrard, you just made yourself an absolute fool with saying that. Now, anybody that was worth their salt, any journalist would have jumped to hear that, but he didn't. They let him away with it because he's Stevie Gerrard. He's no Stevie Gerrard up here.
Just to be correct, he is still Stephen Gerrard up here, Brian. Just so that we're accurate, though, he didn't sort for a name change or anything.
No, no. What I mean is, he's no Stephen Gerrard, the football player. He's Stephen Gerrard, the manager of a team who are failing, and that is beyond a reasonable doubt. They are 8 points behind Celtic, having beat a Celtic. They were poor on the day, and they were as good as they can be. Now, at the end of the day, I'll take it. We got beat, and I held my hands up. They were level in points, although we had a game in hand. We've turned that into 8 points now. Absolute respect. That's the difference, is that you come up against opponents. If they had approached the same, after-match comment, dare I say his name, our last manager. I'm not saying his name, in fact.
Oh, come on. We must be over that by now, surely.
Brendan Rodgers, you mean?
Brendan Rodgers.
Oh, he said it.
Brendan Rodgers would have come out and said, "Well done, Aberdeen. hope he's doing well in the semi-final against Rangers. Or if that was another.
I'm sure the Rangers manager came out and said Aberdeen deserved to go through. Yeah, they're a better team.
Yeah, Brian, did Stephen Gerrard not say Aberdeen deserved to go through and they were the better team?
No, what he said was...
Well, I think he did.
They were a class above.
No. I'm talking about on Wednesday night when Rangers got put out of the cup, Stephen Gerrard said that Aberdeen were the better team.
Well, it was Tuesday night they went out.
Right, so on Tuesday night he said it.
Right, okay. Well, it's not what I heard. It's not what I saw on an interview. But my point is, it's not about one man coming to Scotland and wagging his tail, and then everybody else says, "Oh, what a lovely tail!" You know what I mean? It's about this team. They've had 15 players. They got another two players, and the media were falling over themselves to welcome them.
That's just respectful, Brian. That's all that is.
Yeah.
Come on, Brian. Show a bit of respect.
It wasn't a respectful thing that he said about Aberdeen when he came out and said that after having been beaten them by in the league, being knocked out of both cups, to turn around and say that he's a class above them was wrong.
Yeah,
that was the first game of the season, wasn't it?
Specifically on that comment, Brian may well have a point, but does that have any? Did that have any bearing on the game?
No, I think Brian's talking about that. He's correct. I think it was the first game of the season at Pittodrie.
And I think a lot of the media picked up on that as well.
But to say that Derek McInnes doesn't get respect is nonsense. I thought Stephen Gerrard gave Aberdeen all the respect in the world after Tuesday night when they knocked him out by saying, yep, they were a better team. They deserved to go through. Wish them all the best in the semi-final. So I think Brian's maybe wrong in one or two points, but he's right on the point that he did say it in the first game of the season at Pittodrie. But we all say things that we live to regret.
Oh, don't I know it, listening to you two every Thursday night. Anyway, I think it's time for this.
Beat the Pundit.
With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Tonight is the night, Gordon. It's the last time I'm going to mention that absolute hammering you got last week.
I think mention Tuesday.
Yeah,
you bounced back
on Tuesday. So I think that's us over it. You're over the defeat from last week. Okay. This will be the last time I mention it until the next time. 0141 951 1025. That is the number you need to play Beat the Pundit right now against Mark or Gordon. And be quick, because you only have until the news at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. A team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
It's Mark Wilson and Gordon DL here with me, Gordon Duncan. Keep the calls coming on any of tonight's topics. We've heard from the likes of Stephen Gerrard. We've heard from Oliver Burke. We've been looking back on the midweek games and, of course, looking ahead to this weekend as well. Exciting Champions League this week. We don't really get the same involvement because none of our teams are there. But it did get me thinking. Everyone was watching Virgil van Dijk last night. Everyone's talking about how he's one of the best defenders in the world. People are waxing lyrical about him. And it just got me thinking, I wonder who's the player that turned up at your team and you knew he was destined for bigger things? That's your question for the second hour of tonight's show. The player that played for your team and you just knew he could kick on to that higher level. Gordon DL's winking at Mark Wilson right now. I don't really know what that means. I'm assuming he's not an answer.
He's saying me. Yeah.
No, I'm not saying you. I'm saying I know who you're going to say.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
No, we'll get to that a bit later on. But that's just something, just a subtopic, if you like, for us for the second hour. The one player that came to your team and you knew he could go on to bigger things. This is with Virgil van Dijk in mind. I say bigger, you know what I mean? The level and all the rest of it. 0141 951 1025. We'll get to that after this.
The Pundit.
With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It is Beat the Pundit time. I don't know what you two are laughing at. If you could just please spare it for the next couple of minutes or so, because one of you is taking on Kyle, who's a Rangers fan from Kilwinning. Hi, Kyle.
Hi there, mate.
How are you?
Hi, good, mate.
Feeling in confident mood?
No, not really.
Right, okay. Well, I'll see if we can cheer you up by whatever way this coin lands. Heads, it's Mark Wilson. Tails, it's Gordon DL. And it's heads, Mark Wilson up against
Kyle
from Kilwinning. Good teamwork in the studio on a Thursday night. Right, I'll give Mark some Clyde 2 and make sure he can't hear us. And we'll get the clock up and running. Kyle, you've got 30 seconds head to head with Mark. You can pass. Here's your chance to beat the pundit. You ready?
Yep.
Mark Gillespie's a goalkeeper for which Scottish Premiership club?
Dundee.
Which Hearts defender signed a new contract today?
Pass.
How many league goals does Alfredo Morelos have this season?
26.
Which Irishman was Celtic manager from 91 to 93?
Pass.
Which Scottish international scored a double in the English Championship last night?
Ollie McBurney.
How many Scottish clubs, take your time, I started the question, how many Scottish clubs has Alan McGregor played for?
Three.
Okay, look, let's bring Mark Wilson back. Mark, are you with us?
Yes.
Right,
yes.
Same set of questions to you. Are you ready?
Yeah. Yep.
Mark Gillespie is a goalkeeper for which Scottish club?
Hamilton.
Which Hearts defender signed a new contract today?
Pass.
How many league goals does Alfredo Morelos have this season?
28.
Which Irishman was Celtic manager from 91 to 93?
William Brady.
Which Scottish international scored a double in the English Championship last night?
Pass.
No. How many Scottish clubs has Alan McGregor played for?
What? Two.
Oh, he said one.
I said two. But again, one, two.
Kyle, what do you think? I mean, you weren't feeling too confident. You've heard the competition. You must be feeling a bit more confident now.
Get the ball out.
Quite a nightmare there.
What do you think, Kyle?
Nah, I think he's got me.
You think so?
Seriously, Kyle?
Kyle, you must have been bad if you're saying that.
Let's go through them and find out. Mark Gillespie is a goalkeeper for which Scottish club, Gordon?
The famous Well.
I was waiting on him getting that wrong, and then I would have never let him live it down. But yes, Mark Gillespie's the Motherwell keeper, in light of Trevor. Well, Trevor Carson's obviously injured as well. Which Hearts defender signed a new contract? It's Di Camona. So it's 0-0 after two questions. It's 0-0 after three questions. How many league goals does Alfredo Morelos have this season? It's 16. You both aimed a bit higher because you were thinking about overall.
Yep.
16 in the league this season. 0-0 after three questions.
Good game.
Which Irishman was the Celtic manager from 91 to 93? It was Liam Brady.
Yeah,
I knew you would get that one. So 1-0 to Mark Wilson. Surprised at you for this one. Which Scottish international scored a double in the Championship last
Fletcher.
Night?
Fletcher.
No.
I was going to say Fletcher. That was the night before.
John McGinn.
Aye, nah.
He scored two for Aston Villa.
Did Fletcher not score two?
He scored one the night before.
Aye, that's Tuesday.
Oh, was it? Did he not score one last night then?
It was John McGinn.
I didn't get that.
I wouldn't have got that. That's me only get five.
There we go. How many Scottish clubs has Alan McGregor played for? Rangers.
Dunfermline.
And St Johnson, it's three. Kyle got it and he equalised.
No, yeah.
Right,
he didn't play for St Johnson.
It was a loan period as well. Yeah, I remember it.
I can't remember
Rangers
that.
Rangers, Dunfermline and St Johnson.
Sure, Andy?
No, I'm with you, Mark.
I can't remember that.
I'll tell you what classy that was.
Listen, don't be a sore loser, Mark Wilson, or a sore draw.
I was going to say, they lose. Was it 2-2?
It's 1-1.
Oh, 1-1?
1-1.
That's
an absolute stinker.
Oh, no, Kyle.
Dear. Right, Kyle, here's the deal. I'm going to ask the tiebreaker question. I'll get Mark to write his answer down, and I'll then tell you to give me your attempt, okay?
Aye, that's fine.
It's actually very similar to one of the questions we had, because we keep the tiebreakers because we don't use them that often. Overall, how many Rangers goals has Alfredo Morelos scored in his Rangers career? So not just this season. How many Rangers goals has Alfredo Morelos scored? Quickly write it down, Mark Wilson. Show me your bit of paper right now. Kyle, what's your attempt?
45.
Oh, it's tight. Oh, it's tight.
Kyle goes 45. Mark Wilson goes 42.
Oh, come on, Kyle.
The answer is 40.
Six.
Oh, Kyle has done it. On the tiebreaker. Well done, Kyle. The ball
well
is
done,
on
Kyle.
Its way.
Well done.
Good man. That was Kyle and Co winning. Who is happy but not as happy as Gordon DL, who loves it when Mark Wilson loses.
He's on the book winning, going, I can't believe I beat that Mark Wilson.
Oh, it was a poor show for me tonight.
John
poor
McGinn show. Last
John
night
John McGinn, Di Camona, read that as well. Ah, well, sometimes it's not there.
Yeah, there we go. 0141 951 1025. We've kicked off with a number of topics. Just a subplot to keep us ticking along. After the Champions League last night, after Virgil van Dijk's exploits, everyone's calling him the best defender in the world, or one of them. I want to know the player from your club who you knew straight away could kick on to that level, another level. Any that spring to mind?
Chifty, that's who he wrote down
I
earlier.
I knew you were going to say
No, the one, the obvious one that stands out for me is Andy Robertson. You know, he came Queen's Park, he was outstanding in that season he had at Dundee United. Did I think he was going to go and play in a Champions League final and captain Scotland so soon? No chance.
But you did know he would go into
without a doubt.
Straight away.
He was too good. And you know, he had to step to get to Liverpool, but he went to the next team, progressed. Liverpool, bided his time, progressed again. So he was the outstanding one. But guys like Ryan Gold as well, who's hit the speed bump, but you know, he was a bigger standout than Andy Robertson. But his career has taken a different turn. Just shows you.
Yeah, that doesn't, fit into my question.
No, but even when you think this guy's going to go to the next level, doesn't work. But Andy Robertson for me. What about yourself, Daz?
I can't remember what he had for breakfast.
The one player I've got to say I thought was a young player, and he obviously his bad injury stopped him going really all the way at the top was Ian Gerrard. Yeah. Absolutely everything he had.
Everybody says that about brilliant. Ian Gerrard, and I've never seen a lot of him.
Oh, absolutely brilliant. Yeah. As a young player, brilliant, and unfortunately got the injury at Pittodrie, but he still had a very good career, you've got to say.
Not the easiest question, as we've just discovered, but we're looking for players who played for your team and you knew they would go on to a bigger level. James Glover says Dembele. We all could see he would go higher, and he's putting Tierney up there with Robertson, if that ever happens. What else have we got on that topic on Twitter? Gary Houston, the one player that came and totally changed it, none other, the King of Kings, Henrik Larsson, he says. What else have we got? Wolfman goes for Mikel Arteta and Reno Gattuso. I know that's more than one, he says, but yeah, that's when you look
good
at
shouts.
The careers they had.
Because Arteta was a young boy when he came to Rangers. I remember that, and for the career he had, yep, outstanding.
Sideshow Bob says Victor Wanyama, Henrik Larsson, amongst others. Reno Gattuso, a few coming in for him. Yeah, Adam Clarkson, another one saying Reno Gattuso, as well as Steven. So yes, the player that arrived at your club or played for your club and you knew straight away they would go on to bigger and better things. Just on the back of Virgil van Dijk, you look at the level he's operating at. Now, do you remember there always used to be this suggestion that he'll get found out when he goes down there? Remember people used to say that? Yeah. Oh, he's too lackadaisical. Oh, he's got the cigar out all the time up here. When he plays better strikers, he'll get and look at him now. He makes it look, it's almost like the better the player he's up against, the easier he makes it look.
He's in a place just now that he must feel untouchable. I mean, I suppose the top players, and you're looking at Ronaldo and Messi and things like that, when they're in that form, I know they're different ends of the field, but when they're in that form, they must just feel untouchable. And Virgil van Dijk is a defender. You look at him just now, anybody he comes up against, nobody gets by him. You know, and you're talking the quickest, best players in the world, and he makes it look easy. And I'm just so pleased that he came here and he sampled our league, and he made his way in our league, and he got so much stick for playing in our league that he, you know, to go to that level, incredible. Again, he had to go a step to prove himself. But I mean, some of the bigger teams, I know Liverpool's a huge team, but think of Man City and things like that. If they had to gamble and buy them, think where they would be just now. They're looking for that elusive Champions League. They can't get over the line because of their defence. That's somebody like Van Dijk, no problem.
Remember the goal he scored up at St Johnstone? I think the SPFL put it on their social media today, where he picks it up in his own half, waltzes through a couple and score. Yeah, we really should have known then, shouldn't we? Because since then, have any centre backs done that up here?
I've got to say, guys, I thought his goal last night was terrific. His header, he got up so high, and the power and everything into it. Yeah, he's all right. He's just come on, and I think it is the fact that he's learned his trade in Scotland and then moved back down to England. But you're right, Mark. I'm very surprised, because I've always thought that holding us back in Europe, the City, was the centre-half position. He would have been absolutely great.
I did see Adam Rooney tweet something today, I think, saying, not feeling too bad about myself getting flung about or something along those lines from Virgil van Dijk.
Great answers coming in on this one. I must say, Michael Horn, who's on and says, MacArthur and McCarthy.
Yeah.
If you were a Hamilton fan.
Very good. Yeah.
Michael Horn's my old maths teacher, by the way. Just sort of throw that in there.
Dale High.
Boring stat of the night. Well, wasn't he there when you were there? He must be joking. Katic is on and he says, boom song for me. As soon as he came, he just looked a class above the league. He cruised early on, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
When he came. Fitzy says, Robert Earnshaw at Morton. He's one that always pops up in the teaser because he had that brief. Was it, I think Did it was he? A loan spell or Do something. Remember at Morton?
At Morton? No, yeah. I don't remember that.
Scott Nicol, if you're talking about CVs, Gio van Bronckhorst, my fave ever JR, Champions League winner and captained Holland in a World Cup final.
Yeah, that takes bad. A bit of being.
Decent shout. 0141 951 1025. Andrew's a Rangers fan on the line. Hi, Andrew.
Yes. Good evening, fellas. I've been on a few times at different junctures over the season. Trying to get this analysis of how far Rangers have come under Steven Gerrard, and it's interesting to hear the different kind of arguments. Only 1 point ahead of Pedro Cochino's record, no cups, and there's not going to be a Scottish Cup or a League Cup. But I think what was apparent the other night was Steven Gerrard's naivety sometimes when he comes out and criticises the players and the team. It was interesting that he said he was very angry with the performance and very angry effectively with the players. And yet when the player came out, Jermaine Defoe, his take was different. He said he was disappointed with the performance and the result, but he felt that things were going very well for Rangers. And in fact, if things had gone differently with some of the chances that could have been taken, they might well have been in the Cup semi-final. So I think Steven Gerrard has shown a little bit of naivety in his first year of management. I think he's done a great job in getting to the group stages of Europe. There was no guarantee they were going to win the Scottish Cup. But on the whole, it should just maybe calm down in how he's criticising the players, because it's got to be very demoralising for them if they're hearing week in, week out, even when they're winning, that they didn't score enough goals or they didn't press in the second half. And I think if he curbs that, then next season might be a whole lot better for Rangers.
Would you go along with that, Gordon, or should players be able to handle criticism?
Both. I think players should handle criticism. I think they get off too lightly nowadays. I think that Andrew's right. You're talking about a manager that's his first job, and it's a massive, massive job. He is going to make mistakes. Even the experienced ones that have been round the block a million times make mistakes. He's a young manager. He's came from a youth academy. He's walked into a massive football club, and he's got to get them up there challenging Celtic. A lot of pressure comes with that. Yes, there are times he'll go and he will learn from it. He'll learn every single day, and it'll make him a better coach. I'll make him a better manager. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, how he differs next season. Yes, he comes out and sometimes people either agree or disagree and say, well, that should be said inside the dressing room. But if he feels that he has to say that publicly as a manager, then good on him. Sometimes players just get it too easy nowadays.
I think with a lot of players, though, you know, coming out of football and straight into management, they do get a level where there isn't that much pressure from the press. You know, your interviews are at a lower level where there's not that big a fan base. With Steven Gerrard coming with a huge profile to a huge club, camera's on him right away, and he is still raw. He probably still thinks as a player. I know for a fact he'll think as a player. He was that good that he'll still see his players doing things that he thinks is easy. And I think right away, after a game where a microphone's shoved in front of him, he's still raw, he's still emotional, and it perhaps comes out. I think the longer he's a manager, and when he's here, I'm pretty sure he will be here next season, that his interviews maybe be down a different line from some of the criticism. I mean, you know, Andrew's right. There's been times that Rangers have been very good and scored goals, but he has came out and criticised his team.
But then at the same time, sometimes managers do that and people say that's good. You know, he's keeping high standards. Mm-hmm. He's not letting complacency sit in. He doesn't want them to take their foot off the gas. But then when results don't go your way, people look at it and use it as a stick to beat them with. So what, you know,
it's the timing, Gordon. You've got to know when to do it. You can't be keep coming out and saying the same things because it becomes boring. Players switch off, fans switch off, everybody switches off. To be fair to him, the other night, he came out, as much as he had a go at his players, he put his hands up and says, I've got to take a lot of responsibility. I pick the team, I do the tactics, I put the players out in the park. It wasn't good enough, we let Rangers down. So he's honest in that way. But I keep saying, as much as everybody thinks, and I think one of the callers was spot on when he said it, this is not Steven Gerrard, the player. He's now a manager. It's a completely different job. He's starting from scratch. He will make mistakes. If he becomes a very good manager, he'll learn from the mistakes.
I think the time to say it is though when you're consistent. The Rangers haven't been consistent this season, where they've went that a run a 6, 7, 8 games winning. And then if you win maybe your 7th or 8th game and you've won at 3-0, but you're not happy, you can come out and say that. I think when you're winning maybe a couple of games and then you're coming out and saying, well, you know, it's not really good enough, we should have done better, I think you knock some of that confidence out your team. You know, and I'm not saying it's stopped Rangers, but I think if you perhaps see it next season, if Rangers manage to string performances together which are more positive in terms of a 6, 7, 8 game run, then I think that's acceptable. Come out and say, look, my standards are much higher. I want to go to 10, 11, 12 games in a row. But to say it after one or two victories, I think some of the players go, I mean, what have we got to do here?
Andrew, what about between now and the end of the season then? I know there are many Rangers fans who've not given up hope on the league, so you may be one of them. Or if you're not, do you have a points gap in mind that you would like to see Rangers get within?
Yeah, I don't think any Rangers fan should give up hope about the league. We all remember the two helicopter Sundays that the trophy came to Ibrox. Different days just now, I suppose, but I don't think any Rangers fan should give up hope that if we don't win the league, we'll at least be there or thereabouts. I've got a suspicion that it might, if Celtic do win the league, it might only be eventually by 4 or 5 points maximum. The two big mistakes that Steven Gerrard made, in my opinion, well, one mistake, I think, is persevering with Joel Worrall when Katic's on the bench. You sign a player and then you use a loan player instead. That must do that boy's confidence dunt his confidence. Mm. And then the other big mistake he did make was after the break, deciding to change for the Kilmarnock match. And that sets the tone, when you lose that game, sets the tone for the rest of the season, when there was a winning team that had just beaten Celtic, and then he played the new players in Davis and Defoe. But to answer your question, Gordon, I think there's still hope to win the league, but it'll be somewhere in the region of about 4 or 5 points. Realistically, Celtic should win the league by.
Okay, thank you to Andrew in Mount Vernon, 0141 951 1025. Keep your suggestions coming. We were talking Virgil van Dijk, and I want to know the player at your team who you knew would go on to bigger things. We'll get to more of them and get the full time teaser up and running next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Win the compensation you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. We've been asking you, the player who played for your club who you just knew straight away would go on to bigger things. This is in light of Virgil van Dijk. We used to watch him week in, week out up here. All of a sudden, he's one of the best defenders in the world. So who is the one player at your team that you just knew would kick on to a higher level? Alex Murray's got a decent one. Go Clyde on.
What year?
We kind of early-ish 2000s, early to mid 2000s.
Clyde? Give us a clue. You played with Clyde.
Craig Bryson.
Nah, oh. Craig.
Yep. Didn't give him that.
He's gone on to have a very good career,
very good,
hasn't
career.
He?
Yeah.
A few people are looking ahead to what that might be. Stevie Boy says Karamoko Dembele. He's not even made a first team appearance, but the boy has everything. And from the Rangers perspective, Graham Gunion thinks Gilmore. The same about Billy Gilmore.
See, this is what I worry about. You know, people just hyping these kids up just now, yeah, thinking
it's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
Having said that, have you seen them?
Yep.
They're both outrageous. Yeah. Raffles good. Says when Mark Wilson came to Celtic, you just knew he was destined for the bright lights of Bristol and Dundee. Fair point. Absolutely. Fair point.
And Dumbarton.
Yeah, don't forget Dumbarton.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely not. What else have we got? Looking for things who would go on to bigger and better things. Not sure. We've got loads. I'm trying to find the ones that aren't repeats. Brian says Kenny Dalglish went at Cumbernauld United. Yeah,
that's about a step.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, Gordon, you'll like this one. Charlie McLean is on Motherwell and proud. He is Darren Randolph,
goalkeeper. Yeah.
What about the one at Motherwell did stand out? James McFadden.
Yeah, oh, obviously that's just too obvious. That one, though, isn't it?
Stephen Pearson as well. As soon as I seen Stephen Pearson at Motherwell, I think, God, this guy. Unbelievable. That was at youth team level as well. Used to be like really? The big guy in the playground, just running past everybody with the ball. Now he was always destined.
Is he your school?
No, school football. I used to play against him.
There we go. Matty T says Jelovic immense, did decent in English Premier League. Yeah. So keep them coming. Ian has got some thoughts. Ian and Bale. Oh, we've not got the teaser up and running yet. Sorry. Quickly, before we get to Ian, here's the question tonight. Sent in by Jerry Sherry. Very poetic name he's got.
That's not a real name. The new Jerry Sherry. The new,
listen, it might be. The new SPL season started in 98-99. Who were the managers in the top flight that season kicked off? So when the SPL first started in 98-99, who were the managers in that division? I'll give you some thinking time while I speak to Ian. Hi, Ian.
Hi, how's
it? Not too bad, Ian. Have you got some for us on the players you knew had gone to bigger and better things?
I saw get two.
All right.
First one was Alan Ruff. He made his debut at 17 against Morton on Wednesday night at Fir Hill. Thistle had just been relegated from the old First Division for the first time on the Saturday by losing to the United. And I think it was Billy Rich's last game. And Alan Ruff came in, and you can see right away, even at 17, he looked the part. You can see how far he went. Probably the best Scottish goalkeeper for a long, long time.
Yeah, I like that. I like that knowledge as well, Gordon, giving us the detail, the debut. Yeah. 53 Scotland caps. So if you predicted that at the start, then you clearly could see that he was destined for bigger things.
Yeah, he had a great career, Ruffy, I must admit. Great character as well. I was with him not that long ago, and he tells us all about his 53 caps. It does take a long time, but you've just got to be in the end.
There must have been a few who have come through your team, Partick, over the years, Ian.
Morris Johnson's another.
Ah, of course.
See, I was a 17-year-old. He just get the ball at halfway line and just take on the defence and score goals. That's why he gets snapped up at Watford so early.
You'll admit that's more your era, Gordon, than Mark Wilson's.
Morris was a terrific finisher, you've got to say. And when he went to Ibrox, Souness preferred Morris Johnston to McCoys, which surprised a lot of people. Nally had to spend a lot of time on the bench because Johnston was that good a finisher.
Okay, thank you to Ian. I like that. A couple of suggestions coming in on the phone. What else have we got? Ryan Taggart says Claudio Reyna. He says Carlos Cuellar looked a class act. What else have we got? Ah, here's another one. Ryan Kearney, and not even for his own team. He's thinking outside the box here. Tim Krul at Falkirk.
Aye, that's right. Yeah.
Went on, played big level for the Netherlands.
Kasper Schmeichel fell into that
Falkirk
category
as well. Would you have known back then?
Kasper Schmeichel.
That he was destined.
No, I think I played against him a few times, but I just thought, he's living in the shadow of his dad, and it'll be rubbish. But turns out he's quite good.
The Burns says Big Wanyama. Yeah, because he wasn't here for too long, was he? He sort of knew.
Must admit, I think I've told you this before. The first day in training, I seen Wanyama. I was thinking, this guy's, I don't know where he's going to play in this side. He came and he was, of course you're nervous first day training at any club. It's a big guy, young boy.
So you didn't fancy him?
I'm talking first day in training.
God, and never let it be said that he can't spot a player.
He was too busy taking the free kicks.
But I just thought, you know, at that period we were playing some great football and Victor came in into a midfield that was,
be honest,
quite mobile.
Be honest, you thought, who's this dud? And then he just rammed it down your throat.
I thought he may take time to settle, and he didn't even take time to settle. So there you go.
He must have been gone, I can't believe I'm playing with this right back. Be number 12 in his back.
If there are any clubs out there looking for a new scout, Mark Wilson is available.
Yeah, offer my services.
Take a small slice of the fee. Right, quickly on the teaser, have you got any?
Advocate.
No. Yeah, no. Sorry, it was. Sorry.
Yeah. I had him down there. Who was your Celtic? John Barnes round about that time?
No.
Janssen.
Mulby.
No.
Mulby.
Who?
Did I say Mulby there? I didn't. Who am I talking about?
Mulby? Who's Mulby? What? Did I hear you right there?
Mulby.
Oh, Mulby. Jan Mulby.
He
wasn't he? Mulby. Listen, what season? 99?
98-99.
Where were you then?
Was that when Martin O'Neill came in?
No.
So was that not John Barnes?
No. Nope.
Dalglish?
No. Nope. The other one that you've not said.
Joe Vengos?
Yes.
Oh, Vengos.
Dr. Joe. Okay, that's a good start, kind of.
Jim Jeffries?
Yes, Hearts. Right, you've got three.
Brilliant.
Right, let's get to the phones because Alec's been hanging on for ages. Sorry, Alec, your point tonight.
Hi, Mark, Gordon and Mark.
Hello.
Hi.
It's been comical just there the last couple of nights, and then obviously the night there was a boy on there the night saying that Celtic were bang average. And the boy that was just on before me says that, you know, when you listen, it's he hopes Rangers win the league and he hopes that they finish maybe 4 points, whereas with Celtic and with their mentality, it's we're going out and we're going to win. We're going into the league, we're going to win the league. When we're playing in the Cups, we want to win that league. So that was just a wee quick one. But regards to this season and the whole, with the amount of ups and downs that we've had, it's been quite bizarre. It's been quite a quick season. If we start with the point where they're now, apart from the Invincible season, I think that, you know, Aberdeen, and no disrespect to Inverness, but between Aberdeen and the Hearts, they're going to stand in their way for a treble. Now, to get one treble, you've hit the jackpot. But to get two years and to get three consecutive years, you know, it's like we 1 minute you're waiting in a bus and the next minute you just get this. And this is a special time to be a Celtic supporter. And I think that if we were to complete it this season, you know, it will be up there for to be one of the most, apart from the Invincible season, this is up there. And just a wee quick one after that about the loans and that we've had.
I think it'd be fairly remarkable this season because really the way the season's panned out, you know, Rangers did strengthen, brought in a new manager, a lot of hype around it, and then they beat Celtic on the 29th of December and to go neck and neck. So there was question marks there. Were Celtic strong enough coming back for the winter break to go on and secure the league, never mind a treble? And then to, you know, lose the manager and bring in someone else and still to complete it, getting past a very good Aberdeen side to first reach a final, and then who I think will be Hearts, who have shown can compete with Celtic with 10 men not so long ago at Tynecastle. Celtic nick it in the last minute, but still competed very well. Then I think that would be a remarkable achievement.
So yeah. Alec, when you look at dropping points in the most recent game against Aberdeen, you see that as more of a blip rather than a sign of things to come then?
When obviously Brendan left, you know, it was all quite bizarre. It was all like, you know, it was surreal. And then Lenny came in with two quick games in Edinburgh. We had this big open, this Neil, the welcoming home for Lenny, and the game was just, it was a damp squib. So, you know, where I'm at this stage of the season, we're just chalking the games off. We play Dundee, if it's a 1-0, if it's an OG, I don't really care. We just chalk the games off. And you know, the semi-final is going to be a great occasion. Never mind the final. Aberdeen has put up a really good fight, as we've seen. So I'm not saying that, you know, that this is what we get, but if we were to do it. Regards to, you know, I hope Lenny is appointed the manager. I hope he is appointed. And we're going to probably clear out about 9 players between loans and between players out of contract. Usually when a manager comes into a club, he's got to try and move players out. Whereas Wee Lenny, it's just going to happen instantly anyway. So he's not really got an option. So it's probably a good thing. So he's sort of got a clean slate. We need a couple of centre-halves. We probably will need a striker. So he's not going to have to worry about, right, well, I need to get rid of him to get him. You know, it's all just going to probably unfold for him.
Yeah, but having said that, though, he has to worry about who to replace them with.
Problem with that is, you're breaking up a team who's conquered all before it, and then you're looking to get new guys in, fitted into the club fairly quickly, because you're going to have qualifiers coming up, the league will come round quick. So I think that's a tough job whoever the manager is has got. A lot of players going out the door and quality who know the league, so it's a challenge whoever's going to take the job.
Okay, thank you to Alec on the lines. We've got a few more coming in on Twitter. We're asking for the player at your club that you just knew would kick on to a higher level. Talking about Virgil van Dijk, he's the inspiration for the question. Lots of love coming in for Van Bronckhorst. Knew he was too good for us quickly after we signed, says Adam Covell. He was pretty good, wasn't he?
Oh,
I think that's a fair a fair assessment. RE has gone for De Canio. What else have we got coming in on Twitter at Clyde SSB? It's now hard to separate the teaser answers from the answers to this question. So how are you getting on with the teaser? We're looking for the managers in the SPL in its first season. So for instance, Dr. Joe Venglos, he was the Celtic manager when the SPL started. Dick Advocaat was the Rangers manager, and Jim Jeffries was the Hearts manager.
Yeah, I was about that time manager. Alec McLeish must have been Hibs.
No.
He's not with Motherwell?
No.
Was he with somebody?
Was no. Was he involved?
What about
no. Well,
Alec
Jim Duffy must have been in there.
All I'm telling you is that Alec McLeish is not an answer.
But you went well.
Who said Hibs were in the SPL in the first season?
Oh, there you go. Jim Duffy.
Nope.
He's managed about 100 clubs. Thought. What about Paul Sturrock?
For who?
Dundee United.
Brilliant shout.
No.
Oh no.
The worst shout I've ever
right. He was 99. Yeah, because he signed me.
Oh, Jockey Scott.
You know what? He was at St Johnson, Paul Sturrock.
Oh, was he? Then,
so I'll give you.
Oh,
I think he was.
That's
yeah.
who I meant.
Well, so this is what Jerry Sherry says. You're blaming him if
Jockey,
I'm wrong.
Jockey Scott
must be Dundee.
Yes. All right, that's a good start. Vinglos, Jockey Scott, Jim Jeffries, Dick Advocat, Paul Sturrock. Still got some work to do, and we'll speak to Joe on the line next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are racking their teeny tiny brains for this full-time teaser. It was sent in by Jerry Sherry. We've not established if that's Jerry's real name. We're not judging if it is. It's just it rhymes, which is great. Fulltime at Clyde1.com. That's the address you need to send the questions in. It is this tonight. The new SPL season started in 98-99. Who were the managers the season that it kicked off? Celtic were managed by Vengelos. Dundee were managed by Jockey Scott. Hearts, Jim Jeffries. Rangers, Dick Advocat. St Johnstone, Paul Sturrock. Which means you've got one, two, three. I'm not even telling you how many you've got
right,
to go.
Kilmarnock, Bobby Williamson.
Yes.
Good shout. Well done, Daz.
Go and go for your other one. Your
Aberdeen.
Your Partick Thistle.
John Lambie.
No.
Was Thistle even in the league back then?
No.
What about Eb Skovdal at Aberdeen?
No.
I've had a nightmare the night, by the way. Right, over to you, Daz.
I mean, Gordon, you, for years,
I was amongst all these guys.
In years, you've been telling us how you're a huge Motherwell fan, season ticket holder, all the rest of it. Right. You can't remember who the Motherwell manager was.
Right, I know Tommy McLean.
That was 91.
Right, hold on. It's a tree. I'm
you've
building
got 8 years to build, though. Yeah. We'll be here all night. Try and fast forward.
Right, I'm
years.
Trying to think of my season ticket. Who was in the front? Getting a selfie taken with me. Harry.
Harry.
Oh, the lad. Oh, Harry. Was it Clapman? Oh no.
Harry Clapman.
Is it?
Harry what?
Go on, you say it.
Clapman. He said.
Oh, it's something.
Harry Clapman.
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 Kampman.
Kampman, yes!
Ah, we're happy. Even if we lose, we're happy.
Harry Kampman, remember that?
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, he was not a good manager.
All right, you've got some work still to do. Let's speak to Joe in Carntyne. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how are you doing?
Not bad, Joe. What's on your mind tonight?
I was wanting to talk about your wee second half teaser thing about the play that you knew came into your team.
Oh, we've gone to better things, yes.
Want the better things, right? And I'd like to see Paul McStay for Celtic, because I grew up watching the guy, and he was destined for better things. I don't know if any of you would disagree with me on this, but I don't know. It might be a wee discussion. Maybe did he make his full potential be staying at Celtic, because that was his club, and. To me, I think he's lived his dream. It didn't mean going out to bigger and better clubs, better money and everything else. To me, it was with him. It was all about Celtic.
Yeah, and fair enough.
Yeah,
that's a different slant on it. So this is one that Joe thought definitely could have gone on to better things.
I totally agree with Joe. I played against Paul many a time. He just loved being at Celtic Park and decided that's where he wanted to have his career, and he had a terrific career. You've got to say and. He could have fit it into most sides. Going about Gordon, he was a top quality player.
Oh, without a doubt, outstanding player. Probably find myself unfortunate that I was kind of in that age group that didn't see enough of him. You know, can certainly remember him playing quite a bit and some of the goals he scored, one at Ibrox. But when he was a young player, apparently he was untouchable. He was outstanding. Just shows you the love of the club. And I'm guessing that some Celtic fans will just now will think or hope that Kieran Tierney is the same, and you just wonder if that will be the case.
I mean, it seems like a different era, doesn't it? But nevertheless, yeah, never say never and all that.
Never say never. You know, some people, you know, only Kieran Tierney will be able to tell you that. But you're totally right, Gordon. Different era where probably the, in terms of Paul McStay's day, the terms of finances were probably bigger down south and abroad in Italy and that, and they could have perhaps went there. But the gap now is so vast that you wonder if that's enough to drag players who love clubs that much.
All right, thanks to Joan Carntine for that. Some great ones coming in on Twitter. Martin Sneddon says Stephen Naismith was always going on to better things. My old granda is a former player, manager and scout at Killie. Spied him at 17 and said he was better than Chris Boyd, who was the top scorer at the time. Some great detail as well. David is on. He says the player who went on to better things, Stuart Munro at Alloa.
Yeah,
went to Rangers.
Back. Yeah, good.
15
player,
grand signing, pegging his jacket next to internationals, and never looked out of place. And what about this one? David Lee is on. I played at Gairdock United with a young Andy Murray.
Oh,
that would be Sir Andy Murray. Not a bad footballer, and turned out to be a handy tennis player too. There we go. I'm not sure when you was playing football, you would go, he's going to be a future Wimbledon champion.
Nah, that doesn't count.
You played with him.
I think that's great.
Andy Murray.
You played with him.
I have came across him in a few resi games. Yeah. Got another one. Tommy McLean.
Oh, right, on the teaser. You were looking for the managers when the season kicked off in 98-99.
He was your man at Dundee United.
Sure.
Tommy McLean, yeah.
Positive?
Yeah, because he was before start. That was around my time.
We
that was
Tommy McLean.
We said him for Motherwell. Dundee United manager.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, yeah.
No. Got it. Got it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think back. If I didn't get that, we're in trouble.
This is Jerry's question, remember, and I always repeat that to pass the blame if anything goes wrong. But I think Paul Sturrock
took over for Tommy
very
McLean.
Quickly yes. into that season, very soon, and you know, after
that
season started. So there we go.
Yep. The reason I know that was the era I was going up. You know, the old school visits and the school holidays. I would go up with a few of the other boys, Tommy McLean and Paul Sturrock. They were just changing over.
I was too busy getting married by then.
What number of wife was that?
Hughes and Stevenson. Let's squeeze one more in. Hi, Hugh.
Join again.
Hi, Hugh.
Hi.
We've got you. What's your point tonight?
My point was, I heard you talking about a lot of these players that made it big and all that. I was quite fortunate that my boy played pro youth with the likes of Andy Roberts and John McGinn and that.
Mm-hmm.
And what saddened me is the players that I thought in their time with his team ability have not made it as big as them, likes of Ross County captain, Marcus
Fraser.
Yes, and Joe Chalmers at Inverness, who scored a cracking goal the other week. They were on the same ability. And it just, I think it's just mostly it's down to a bit of luck as you're progressing.
Yeah, listen, that's another slant on it. The guys who you thought would go and then maybe just didn't quite. Yeah. And by the way, those guys are still having better careers than most who want to play the game. They've made it as professional footballers, but maybe Hugh was thinking.
Yeah, there's a million of them out there. I mean, when I was growing up, when you're 14, 15, you hear their names throughout the country who are supposed to be the best player, and then you meet up and yep, they are, and then they just fizzle out. Joe's totally right. That happens, and sometimes you need a bit of luck. Sometimes you need to put in a performance just at the right time where perhaps a scout's went by and seen you, and then he takes you on to the next level. You receive better coaching. Just your luck at that age. Certainly been a lot of boys with a lot of ability back then. Just when I was thinking, Darren Fletcher was one, played with him at Scotland Schoolboys, and even then you just knew. He was already in Manchester United's books, but there was talk of him
That's
getting a first
one.
Team chance.
I'm glad it's taken you to 2 minutes before the end of the show to come up with that, because that was good. That would have been good.
Sorry,
25
sorry,
minutes ago.
Sorry.
Was
sorry
he though? No,
just back then, yeah. Scotland Schoolboys, for 14, he played the level above. Then when we caught up, he was just head and shoulders above the rest. Didn't he do anything spectacular, but he just had this engine, kept things simple. And then there was the rumours he was going to get his start. And I think he made his debut not long after that, but he's one that's went on to have an outstanding career.
Brian McClare, Motherwell, Celtic, Man U.
Always knew that he would go on to bigger things, one of them.
Oh, yeah.
I was just wondering if that was one of the answers for the teaser, but no, okay.
No. Well, he was never a manager up here.
No, I know. Not sure if I could read this one out.
Go on. Who's it about?
You.
Don't read it out then.
Yes, give us it. I've had enough stick over my free kick.
A couple of minutes left to go on the show. I think you can get away with it. I hope none of them are listening.
Go on now.
Brian says Gordon's ex-wives went on to better things.
Oh, well done, Brian. I'll give you that.
Oh, that's good.
That's a great
I'm
effort.
I'm glad you're laughing, Marshall.
Oh, brilliant.
That is.
Honestly. Enjoying that.
Brilliant. We're finishing on a high. We've got a couple of minutes to get through before we get the answers to the teaser. What are you thinking ahead of this weekend then? I did say we were going to take a look at the battle at the bottom. As always, the calls just keep coming thick and fast. Sometimes we don't squeeze everything in. That's the beauty of live radio. St Mirren losing again Monday night, but the performance levels are alright, Gordon. They're there or thereabouts. They've picked up some decent results recently. They're not detached by any means. So how do you see that?
I think it's important this week. You look at Hamilton, they're at home to Hearts, am I right there? St Johnstone, St Mirren. You would obviously fancy Celtic to go to Dundee and win that game. So it's an opportunity for, I know it's got to be difficult for Hamilton, but they've went to Pittodrie and got a great result. They're at home to get another 3 points, get further away, and St Mirren to climb off the bottom of the table. Their results have been good, but the other night, you don't want to get back to that playing okay and losing. You want to pick up 3 points. Hard game against St Johnstone up there, but they're capable of doing it.
I think we'll move on to the teaser. Jerry sent it in tonight, fulltime@clyde1.com. Please send your questions in. We can never have too many of them. We'll try and get through them all at some point. The new SPL season started in 98-99. It was the first ever season. Who were the managers in the league when it kicked off? You've got Joe Venglos at Celtic, Jockey Scott at Dundee. You've got Dundee United, Tommy McLean, Hearts, Jim Jeffries, Kilmarnock, Bobby Williamson, Motherwell, Harry Campman, Rangers, Dick Advocaat, and St Johnstone, Paul Sturrock.
What about Alec Totten we mentioned?
No.
Okay, let's go with the older.
Here's older. Something that's crossed my mind. Do you even know how many teams were in the league?
Yeah.
How many?
12.
No.
10.
14.
There's 10.
16.
10.
Alex Totten.
16. See if they were 16. You've got a bit of work today.
You've got two to get.
Here's one for you.
Don't say Alex Totten because you've just said it four times. And I told you no every time.
Alec Totten's friend Dick Campbell.
At who?
I don't know.
No.
I'm just thinking the old managers that I used to know.
Dick Campbell.
Right, I'll tell you the two teams you're looking for.
Right,
I'll give you Aberdeen. You're still looking for Aberdeen and Dunfermline. More in the
SPL. Jim Leishman.
No.
Oh, Aberdeen must be, I think. Jimmy Calderwood?
No.
Two.
Billy Miller?
No.
Give us a clue. Foreigner?
Same surname.
Alec Miller?
Yes.
Should have got that.
And I knew you were not getting Dunfermline. If I was a betting man, I would have
put
all on. Who?
Peyton.
What's his first name?
Bert Payton.
Yes.
Oh, that's it.
Well done. That was Mark Wilson and Gordon DL. We're back tomorrow, Friday night, from 6 o'clock. Stay where you are though, because Callum Gallagher's up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.